السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. قال الله في كتابه الحكيم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ولقد آتيناك سبعا من المثاني والقرآن العظيم، لا تمدن عينيك إلى ما متعنا به أزواجا منهم ولا تحزن عليهم واخفض جناحك للمؤمنين. صدق الله العلي العظيم، وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Chapter number 15 of the Quran, Surah Al-Hijr, describes in one portion those who are referred to as Ashab al-Hijr. Ashab al-Hijr was one of the descriptions of the tribe of Thamud. And the tribe of Thamud are mentioned in a number of places of the Quran. The prophet that was sent to the people of Thamud was the prophet Salih. And so when God talks to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a reminder that in the same way that he has a message and that people are rejecting his message, because remember, the Quran is a continuous revelation over a period of 23 years, in order to give support and strength and consolation to the Prophet, God mentions that you're not alone. You're not the only one that's going through this. You're not the only one that went through this in the history of the prophets who had messages. But what God tells the prophet is that we've endowed you with a number of gifts to help you throughout this process. We've given you strength. Number one, God tells the prophet that we've given you people on your side. We've given you good people that are going to support you. And there's a number of verses in the Quran. One verse that we mentioned a while back was when God tells him that even if you had one person on your side, that's all you would need. You don't need anyone else. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَمَنْ عَنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ. If I only had that one person, the person who has عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ, the knowledge of the book, and that's a specific person who's mentioned there, then I won't need anybody else. But not only that, God begins to describe to the Prophet what else he has given him. So in Surah Al-Hijr, in verse number 87, he says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمِ. One of the weapons that we've placed in your arsenal, or one of the gifts that we've given you, is what is described here as سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي. And if you go back to the commentary, you realize that what this refers to, so سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي means what? الْمَثَانِي are those things that are repeated. They're often repeated. But there's a number that's attached to it, and that's سَبْعَ, which is seven. And so the commentators, most of them, they agree that what is being mentioned here is Surah Al-Fatiha, that we've given you Surah Al-Fatiha. So Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm Al-Din, Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'een, Ihdina Sirat Al-Mustaqim, Sirat Al-Ladina An'amta Alayhim, Ghayr Al-Maghdubi Alayhim, Wala Al-Dallin. That's six. What's the seventh one? Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. It's considered one of the verses. So when you add that, it becomes seven. So God says that we have given you the seven verses that are often repeated. And then he describes, he says, why is this important? He says, لا تمدن عينيك إلى ما متعنا به أزواجا منهم ولا تحزن عليهم واخفض جناحك للمؤمنين. And we have indeed given you the seven often repeated, meaning those verses, and the mighty Quran, meaning the rest of the Quran. So because of that, he says, don't let your eyes wander around and look at what everybody else has and begin to think that the grass is greener on the other side. Don't concern yourself with what everyone has or with what everyone don't has. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ. And if you see what people have, don't feel sad for them. وَخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And make yourself gentle towards those who are already following you. And there's a message to be learned from that. It's that, you know, the Prophet, no one can shake his tree. The Prophet was confident in what he had. The Prophet was convicted. There was no doubt in his mind that what he was doing was the right thing. So much so that many of you know the saying of the Prophet, when the Quraysh during the early days had asked Abu Talib, tell him that whatever he wants, what does he want? What does this nephew of yours want? Does he want money? Does he want power? Does he want women? Does he want fame? What is it that he wants? Let him just say the word. We have everything. We'll give it to him. We'll deliver it to him. And when that message was delivered to him, when it was relayed to him, he said, if you gave me the sun in one hand and the moon in another hand, I won't give up what I have. Because he understood the value of what he had. So it wasn't a matter of the Prophet not knowing what he had his hands on. It wasn't a matter of the Prophet feeling that he didn't have enough or that he was not content with what he had. But more so, that's a message to us, is that, you know, sometimes it's natural as human beings that whatever we have in front of us, we tend to look over the fence. We tend to look at what somebody else has. And we think to ourselves, wow, if only I had what this person had. Or we look at our problems and we say, well, this person on the other side of the fence is doing better because he or she doesn't have those problems. They're not afflicted with the same problems. They have parents that support them. I don't have parents, or I didn't have parents that supported me. This person comes from a family of wealth and I came from a family of poverty. If they came from a family of poverty, they'd be right where I am right now. Our mind tends to wander in that way. Our mind tends to think in that way. And so we always think, well, if only I had this, and if only I had that. When you realize that what you see in most people, and most of the time we see a person's highlight reel, meaning the best of what they have in their life, especially in the age of social media. And I try to get this message as much as I can, not just to young people, because everybody's on social media. Our grandmothers are on social media these days. And when you're on social media, you tend to see only the best side of someone. They'll put their best picture with the best lighting, and they'll retake the photo 100 times if they have to get that perfect photo. And you're watching it at the end of the day when you're dreary and tired in your pajamas and you're in bed. And you compare what you look like at that moment to what that person looks like in the photo. And you tend to think, well, this person has it all. We may not say it, but sometimes that's what we internalize. And so God is telling the Prophet here that, look, everything that you think that they have, everything that you think is an advantage for them, is nothing compared to the gifts that we've given you. And one of those gifts is سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي, Surah Al-Fatiha. That's a gift that we've given you. That's a revelation that we've given you. And the revelation did not come to anybody else but you. Now, anyone else can follow the revelation, but the revelation came to you first. And because the revelation, the message came to you first, you need to understand that there's nothing better than this. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمِ لَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِنْهُمْ. So don't let your eyes wander. Stop looking at what everybody else has. And at the same time, he says, it's not your responsibility to grieve over that person either. Sometimes, it's not that we look to what a person has. sometimes we fall into the trap of looking at what someone doesn't have that we tend to have. And, you know, we're always feeling sorry for people. Now, it's okay to have, to sympathize. It's okay to have some empathy. It's okay to, you know, have a slight degree of feeling bad for people if they've been hurt or if they've been oppressed. But some of us, we just feel bad for everyone all the time. And that's not your responsibility either. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Because in a way, those people, you know, a lot of the times, let's face it, a lot of the times, I'm not saying most of the time and I'm not saying all the time, but a lot of times, people who are in terrible situations, they put themselves in terrible situations. And so there's only so much that you could feel sorry or you feel bad for a person if there's repetitive behavior. Now, if someone slips up once, twice, three times, maybe four or five times, it's okay. But if someone has repetitive behavior and they never learn from their mistakes, and obviously that was the case with a lot of the people that the Prophet had approached, is that the Prophet approached them one time, twice, three, four, five times, six, seven, 10 times. And like any human being, eventually he would feel bad for that person. And God tells him, don't feel bad about that person. They've made their choices. Focus on the people that are actually following you. Focus on the people that want to be a part of you, that they want to live their life following you. وَخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Sometimes we pay attention to everybody around us except for the closest people to us, and we abandon their needs. Sometimes we're looking for love everywhere except for within our own home, and that love is there in our own home. It's in our own circle. So what does he say? He says, look, we've given you this gift. We've given you Surah Al-Fatiha and the rest of the Qur'an. And what I wanted to mention is just a couple of narrations that teach us the power of Surah Al-Fatiha. This surah that if you're praying five times a day, how many times are you reciting? You're reciting more than a dozen times. How powerful it is when you use Surah Al-Fatiha towards your advantage. Now, it's interesting because it's referred to as Surah Al-Fatiha, but the word Fatiha or Fatih or Fath is nowhere to be found in the chapter. But it's described as Al-Fatiha, the opener. And that's closely related to the term Fath, which means, what does Fath mean? Conquest, like in Surah Al-Fatih. There's a chapter that's referred to as Surah Al-Fatih, and it describes the conquest. So that word Fatiha actually doesn't appear anywhere, but it's known as Al-Fatiha. Number one, because it's the opener of the Qur'an. It opens up the Qur'an. It comes before Surah Al-Baqarah. Narrations tell us that some narrations suggest, and of course there's dispute in these matters, but some narrations suggest that the Prophet, not only did, when the Qur'an was revealed to him, did he direct those who were recording the Qur'an where exactly to place the verses, but also where to place the chapters. So there's a wisdom behind why chapter number one is Al-Fatiha, chapter number two is Al-Baqarah, chapter number three is Al-Imran, till the end of the chapters. So there's a number of reports that indicate the great power that is associated with this chapter. One report or one narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the following. He said, by him in whose hand lies my soul, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. That was a way for the Prophet to vow, but a strong type of vow. He would say, by him whose hands lies my soul, meaning by God. That's a form of hilf. It's a form of a vow, an expression, which signifies a great form of hilf. He says, neither in the Torah nor the Psalms, which is the Suhuf, the scrolls that were revealed to Musa and Ibrahim, neither in the Torah nor in the Psalms nor in the Gospel, which was revealed to Isa alayhi salam, nor in anywhere else in the Quran, were verses like this revealed anywhere, which goes to show you the strength. Another narration is attributed to Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. He says the following. He says the whole of the Quran is contained in the Fatiha, so that when you read the Fatiha, it's as if you have read the entire Quran. And the whole of the Fatiha in the Basmala. What's the Basmala? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So when you just read the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim of that chapter, it's as if you've recited the entire chapter. A lot of strength and power and significance lies in that. He says, and the whole of the Basmala lies in the Ba, which is the opening letter. The first letter of Bismillah. And he says the whole of the Ba in the diacritic point, which is the dot, which is under the letter Ba. So all of that strength from the whole Quran goes back to Surah Al-Fatiha. From the whole of Surah Al-Fatiha goes back to the Basmala. From the whole of the Basmala goes back to that first letter. And from that first letter goes down to a part of that letter. And this is for us to understand that this thing that you read every single day, that sometimes, you know, even if you try to forget how to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, you probably won't forget it, because you've read it so many times in your life. This thing that you sometimes take for granted, this thing that you don't understand how much power is contained within it, has so much power you wouldn't even believe. Has the power to do so much in your life. And so God tells the Prophet, he says, look, whatever is going on, whatever armies they could muster, because if you look at some of the battles, I mean, the first battle, the Battle of Badr, it was 313 people up against more than 1,000 people. The Battle of Uhud, same way. I mean, there would be a handful of people against thousands of people, if not tens of thousands of people. And the enemy always had an advantage. Most of the time had an advantage when it came to their weapons, when it came to their materials. Remember, the Muslim community was forming, and so they weren't as wealthy, so they couldn't spend what they wanted to spend in their defense. He says, whatever they muster and whatever they put in front of you, I've given you something better. And that's Surah Al-Fatiha. So there's a lot of power right there. One thing that I wanted to share with you as I was doing a little bit of research is that, you know, you realize that it's not just these apparent things that we're given that give us power to succeed or power to overcome. God tells the Prophet that we've given you Surah Al-Fatiha. But then I came across something very interesting, and it said that every single one of us, we are innately born with gifts. And those gifts grant us the power to overcome and succeed in our lives. Now, for most people, the gifts that God has given us, they remain unopened. So our Christian friends, during the days of Christmas, they give gifts to one another in celebration of Christmas and of Santa. So if you're on the nice list, you get gifts. If you're on the naughty list, you don't get anything. And those gifts, the whole idea is that those gifts are purchased, most likely on Black Friday. They're wrapped, and then they're kept under a Christmas tree. Now, you don't know, or you're supposed to not know, what those gifts are, even though they tell people what to buy them. I don't get what the point is. But if you know what you want, just, you know, exchange cash or something, or Bitcoin. But there's something about receiving gifts and giving gifts. There's the spirit of it all. And they're supposed to remain under the Christmas tree until, you know, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. In some cultures, I learned recently that they celebrate the arrival, the bringing in of Christmas. So they actually, more significance is given to Christmas Eve than Christmas Day. And then in some cultures, it's different. They actually celebrate Christmas Day more than Christmas Eve. And you open those gifts and you're supposed to act surprised that you had no idea what was in there, even though the shape is totally visible. Now what happens? That gift can remain unopened. And there are probably people out there that don't open up their gifts. In that same way, God gives us certain gifts. And I won't take long, I just want to talk about this for a few minutes. But God also gives us gifts from the time that we're born. And for most people, those gifts either remain unopened, or even better, they're re-gifted. Sometimes you get that gift and you have a section in your closet that's dedicated to re-gifted gifts. You know, you have 3 or 4 toaster ovens in there. You have duplicates, you have replicas of one another. And sometimes, you know, you re-gift it because, you know, you either have something that's better in your kitchen or in your closet, or sometimes we don't understand the power or the value of a gift. One time I had to stop my father in his tracks because he was about to re-gift a cologne and he didn't realize how much it was worth. And now it's sitting in my car. It's the cologne that goes with me wherever I go. And I read a story one time, or I heard a story from a Christian pastor, and he said that, and this is a pastor of a mega church, so he sees hundreds of people, thousands of people on a weekly basis. And so he's always meeting people, hugging, greeting, shaking hands, all of that. And he says, one day I was, you know, among the people and shaking hands, and a man gives me a gift. And he says, I don't know who this man was. I mean, I had seen him a few times at the church, but I didn't really have a personal relationship. So when he handed me the gift, I didn't really think much of it. So he said, I put it in my desk drawer. I just kind of tossed it there. And he says, one day I went back and, you know, I was opening my drawer and I was looking for something and I found this gift. It was something like wrapped in like a mahogany box or something like that. And he opened it up and it was this beautiful watch. And so right away he Googled it. He didn't know that, you know, he didn't recognize the name and the brand. And so he sat there on his desk at his computer and he Googled it. And that watch was worth thousands of dollars. It's very, very expensive. But he didn't think anything of it because it was someone random that gave it to him. And so sometimes we have those gifts. We don't realize the value of them. Sometimes we don't even know that we have those gifts. And sometimes we re-gift the gifts that we have, even though we know the value of them. We cash it in, we pawn it. So this author who writes about this concept, he mentions 3 gifts, and I'll go through them very quickly. He says one gift that every single human being has been given, regardless of your background, regardless of whether you were born into a family of poverty or a family of wealth, wherever you're from, whatever your background is, the number one gift that deeply resonates with most people, and he talks about this after years and years of experience, he says is freedom. The freedom to choose. All of us have freedom when it comes to our choices and when it comes to our behaviors. The problem, he says, is most people, they can't really tell between what influences us and or what influences our choices and what determines our choices. So for many people, there are different influences. But what influences you doesn't necessarily have to determine your outcome. So if a person is born from, you know, in a broken home, in a broken family, or not born of wealth, or born in a village somewhere without Wi-Fi or without bathrooms or something like that. Now, that environment can influence their choices. It can influence their behavior. But it never determines their choices. It never determines their behavior. So there's always choice. And there's always freedom to choose. And that's what's so beautiful about being a human being. You know, God could have created all of us as robots. Some people ask the question, well, why heaven and hell and why choice and what do I have to choose and what's predetermined and all of that. And we miss out on the fact that there's so much beauty and the fact that we actually have choice and God did not create us as robots. And the reason why that remains for some people an unopened gift is because they spend their entire life with the mindset that I was forced to take this path. That someone forced me to take this path. Meaning that someone else's mindset or someone else's behavior determine my actions. And that's never true. Your choice is your choice. It starts with you and it ends with you. So some of us, we don't realize how powerful that gift is, and some of us, we re-gift it. Our freedom doesn't belong to us, it belongs to someone else. He says, number two, the second gift is that God has given us principles. What are principles? Principles are, they're universal laws that serve as a foundation for our values and for our behaviors. Some people, you have no idea what they value, and their behavior is sporadic, left and right. And he says those people have never paid the price of rooting themselves in principle. See, when you have principle, you don't get confused on how to behave. You have a law. When you don't have a law, then you don't know what is right and what's wrong. You don't know what to do or what not to do. But if you root yourself in principle, then you have something to go off of. You have guidance. So this is number two, the fact that we have principles that govern our life. And he says number three is what he calls the four intelligences, IQ, EQ, PQ, and SQ. What does that stand for? Now, IQ, mental intelligence. Some people have higher IQ, some people have lower IQ. That's a gift that God has given us. And he doesn't spend so much time because, you know, the whole idea many years ago was that your success is based on your IQ. The higher your IQ, the more successful you are. Now, in the 1970s and the 1980s and the 1990s, people started doing research, and authors, there was an author, his name was Howard Gardner, and he came from the Harvard School of Education. And he wrote a book called Frames of Mind. And what he spoke about in that book was the theory of multiple intelligences. So it's not just about IQ, but he talks about EQ, he talks about social intelligence, he talks about interpersonal intelligence, emotional intelligence. So there's IQ, then there's EQ, which is emotional intelligence, which is where your self-awareness comes from, your empathy, your behavior, how you conduct, because some people have a very, very high IQ, but they don't know how to conduct an interview. They don't know how to act in a relationship. They have no idea even how to change a light bulb, but they have a very, very high IQ. And then there's PQ, which is your physical intelligence, and that refers to how intelligent your body is. Your body, I mean, you have trillions of cells in your body that work with one another intelligently, all within the system, and you don't have to remind your lungs to breathe. You don't have to remind your heart to pump. It's intelligent enough to stand alone and do that on itself. And then there's SQ, which he refers to as spiritual intelligence. And that's our need for meaning. That's our need to connect with a purpose. That's our need to connect with something that gives our life purpose. And so most of us were given all these gifts either at birth or we're given these gifts by God, such as we mentioned, Surah Al-Fatiha. But most of the time we're looking at what somebody else has. We're looking over the fence and we think that the grass is greener on the other side. And so when you realize the value of what you have and the strength of what you have, you stop looking at everyone else. You realize that you don't need anything else. God has put you in the position that you are in right now for a very special reason. And you need to learn from your past and not live in your past. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts and our minds to the gifts that He has granted us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and assist us so that we do not take the gifts that He has given us for granted. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in this holy month. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring relief to all of those who are in need of our dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. تابع بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك قاضي الحاجات إنك على كل شيء قدير وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات لا سيما أمواتكم نهدي جميعا ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.